Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
Hi, Wayne. It's a pleasure to have you here in the studio.
Hi, Anthony. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, and you've come a long way. You've just been in Australia. Is that right?
I'm 17 time zones confused at the moment, but I should be all right.
Yeah, I can see in your eyes that kind of jet lag look, double jet lag you get from Australia.
but I had two nights slept straight through, so that's always good. If the first two nights are good, then usually it's easy.
Yeah, and it's 1 o'clock after, I'll be honest, this is through Skype, so we're actually not in the same room, but you're over in California right now.
I am, yeah.
And, the weather, what is it like?
Today it's mid-60s, which I don't know what the Celsius is, unfortunately, but it's mid-60s, nice cool day. Yeah. Spring's in the air.
Yeah, we had a lousy winter, but thank God it's getting into spring now. So I planted my garden 2 days ago, so we're getting there.
Okay good.
Yeah, listen, Brad, Wayne, I call you Brad. I was going to ask you, how is Brad Cummings?
Brad's a pretty busy guy these days. We don't cross paths a whole lot, so
yeah,
I'm not sure.
We really certainly enjoyed the God journey and all the podcasts you did together.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, it's been very much an inspiration for Pilgrim Talk, which we're doing. But what inspired the God Journey podcasts in the first instance?
Oh, we started even before there was such a thing as podcasts, I think. We were we'd been invited to do a radio show together. And in negotiating that out with the radio station, we found out they wanted to do a very different show than we wanted to do. But in the course of talking about that, we realized how much fun Brad and I had in our relationship and discussions we were having, and thought it'd be fun to just post those on the internet and see what happens to them. And so it really began that way.
So it was real suck it and see. You just kind of floated it out there to see how will it go. And
we did.
Was that your attitude?
No business plan. No, we didn't need to make money off of it. It's been free from the beginning, so it's been very simple.
Yeah, and it's grown. You've got quite a listenership, I gather.
That's what I hear. I don't check numbers on things, so I couldn't even tell you how many people listen.
Yeah, well, we do it because if there might be one person listening, you know.
You'll make
Jesus
sure you got one?
Yeah.
David always ran into bad experiences when he was counting, so I've stopped counting a long time ago.
That's good. There's something in the Bible about that.
Yeah, something
there?
Is.
Something about David, yeah.
Yeah, I recognize that guy.
Okay, now here's a question for you. You ready? To a
sure.
society like Ireland that is has a highly formalized religion, and in the context also of a secular humanistic education system, how do you introduce a relational God separate from both formal religion and relational humanism?
Oh my gosh, in 25 words or less. What?
I'm sorry, that's too big a question. Okay.
That's a big question.
Okay, what I'm trying to get to is this. Is that in the context of a society who kind of isn't listening and isn't quite getting it, how do you begin to introduce the concept of a God, a relational God, as opposed to a religious God?
Yeah, and I guess where I'm troubling with the question is I don't really come at it that way. I don't come at it from the theological talk of the culture, whether it's secular humanism or religious. I start with the basic need of the human soul. I think every one of us longs for connection with the living God, even people who don't believe in him yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think love triggers that reality. I think when I love people, when I care about people around me, when I care about the person sitting next to me in the airplane flying back from Australia, that opens the door to conversation. That may open the door to an exposure of who God is. But I really think both the secular humanist idea and the religious trap has, and particularly the religious one, has disfigured the God of the Bible. So you talk about God in that context, and people just glaze over, as you well know.
Yeah.
And so finding a way into what's the heart? What's going on in them? Where are they struggling? Where are they desiring for connection? How does God make himself real to them, which to me is as personal as how Jesus did it with the woman at the well versus how he did it with Zacchaeus. It was all very different. He had a question or a thought that opened a doorway into their heart that wasn't a standard approach that he used. And I guess I've been one out of all my standard approaches to things. And if I love someone and care for them, we will end up in a discussion about things that matter.
Yeah, I was listening one day to that God Journey, and I heard you, it may have been you or maybe Brad, you said something, And it just hit me to the core. I actually wrote it down, but it was probably a paraphrase of what you said. And it was something like this. It says, religion has given to God the character of the devil in order to manipulate people. Does this ring a bell with you?
Yeah, it does. It's actually a conclusion of Darren Hufford's book, The Misunderstood God. He makes that point. And we were talking about his point.
Right, very good.
Yeah. Which he takes 1 Corinthians 13 and it describes love. And then asks us, how many of us attach those characteristics to God? If God is love, and 1 Corinthians 13 is the description of that love, do we really believe God isn't jealous, God doesn't make a list of wrong suffer, God doesn't go? And the fact is, religion has taught us that God is the opposite of love. So that's what Darren's point was. He has the personality of the devil.
Yeah, Darren, he's the chap who did the finger of God. Is that right?
The finger?
Is that the same guy?
I don't know the finger of God.
I'm getting a mix-up. Sorry, there's a video out there.
Oh, okay. Fantastic stuff. Might be.
Anyway,
sorry.
Okay. Here's another question, totally different now. You ready?
Wow, you're going to shift gears. All right.
Okay,
ready.
What's going on in America amongst the body of Christ from your perspective?
Oh, see, again, a difficult question because...
I really get tough ones for you.
Well, generalities are difficult for me. I really love just... I get a lot of email from people who are watching their religious systems implode and yet still have a passion to follow the living God. Now, statistics tell us there's a lot of people spilling out of religious institutions who don't come out with a hunger for God. They rejected the system, they rejected religion, they rejected God himself, and they've just gone out as cynics in the world. So those people generally don't write me. I don't hear from them. So my websites obviously give me a very skewed audience. But I think overall, I see religion imploding in our day. I think people are hungering for something more real and new. And they're finally given attention to the fact that somewhere in the deepest core of their being, something's saying to them, there must be something more than what I have right now. And so that's where I try to begin the conversation. Their hunger, what are they seeing through? Where have they been hurt by, quote-unquote, church things? And help them find a new freedom in who God is.
That's fantastic, yeah. Now, look, I'm aware of the scripture that says that love keeps no record of wrongs, okay?
Yep.
But I do realize that you were in the past a traditional pastor, or a pastor in a church, okay?
Yep.
I didn't keep a list either. Okay. So what has been, since you have left that role, what has been the greatest blessing in your life, and what has been the greatest challenge?
Wow, I think the greatest blessing has been the fact that I no longer feel obligated to stimulate complacent people. I probably spent 90% of my energy as a pastor trying to get everybody to come along. For the last 20 years, I've only spent, I'll be with people who want to have a discussion about what's real, not real, but I spend the bulk of my time equipping people who are already hungry for the things I think God wants them to have. So I don't waste a lot of time with folks that want to argue about any kind of theological thing. I just want to look for people who are hungry to know who God is and want to walk with him.
Yeah, wow.
Yep.
That's brilliant. Now listen, you've been to Ireland and you have some friends over here.
We didn't get to my challenge, the greatest challenge. We didn't get to that part of your question.
What is your greatest challenge?
You know, the greatest challenge in the beginning was to lose Wayne's need for his own approval and significance to God.
That's right.
That was the biggest challenge. It was 2.5 years of absolute anguish and pain. Since then, that's been the biggest one. Currently, I look back and say, I don't know that I have a big challenge now. I would rather do everything I'm doing today than anything I was doing as a pastor back in the day. And in fact, I think I'm more of a pastor now, the way I get to relate, love, and care for people, than I ever was when I had to manage a machine with 80% of my energy. So.
Yeah, wow. I bear witness to that. I do agree with you there. I think one can easily recognize a pastoral ministry there, even though it's not in a formal setting. Now, here's the next one here. You've been to Ireland. You have some friends here.
I do.
And when you last flew in over into Ireland, I assume you came by aeroplane, did you?
I haven't come by boat yet.
Okay. When you came in, was there anything the Lord spoke to you? Or is there anything in particular you felt in your spirit coming into this land of Ireland?
Not specifically. I don't...
Okay.
Yeah, when I land somewhere... I'm really doing a Matthew 6 kind of thing with my life. I let each day have the grace of its own. So I'm not pre-thinking when I get somewhere. Revelations mostly come when I'm there engaged with people. So it wouldn't be likely for me to have something on the plane coming in on my heart for any country. Yeah.
Right. Okay, and here's another one here. To a listener who was under legalistic coercive pressure to conform to uncomfortable expectations from their leaders or other church members, do you have any words of encouragement?
Run, run, run. I don't know if that's a...
Run. Oh, yeah, don't look back, eh?
Oh,
don't
I'm telling like you, the false teachers that Paul's talking about, Jesus talking about, are all people who try to bring you under the burden of obligation, under the expectation to standards, and are not giving you a life in Jesus to help you actually live in his life and freedom. So if you're in a group that's talking standards and not transformation through the power of Christ, so it's just you being a better Christian for God, then the best thing I can tell you is run as fast as you can, run as far as you can, and sit down and say, Jesus, I want to know you. Would you show yourself to me?
Yeah, so you really smash up a few idols in the process when you do that.
Or we have a good barbecue with the sacred cows laying slaughtered in the meadow. So either one.
Yeah, wow. So here's another one. If you were marooned on a desert island and could only take one book of the Bible with you, which one would it be and why?
One book of the Bible.
Yeah.
Gosh, that would be impossible. I think John, just because it unpacks Jesus in a lovely way, and there's enough theology in it as well to stimulate my intellectual side. But it'd be hard. I like Colossians, Hebrews, and a bunch of others, but probably John.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, well, listen, I have to say, Wayne, I'm really blessed by just talking to you, you know, because I think what we need in Ireland, I know this, and it's worldwide also, is just an absolute injection of the freedom that comes in Christ. You know, we carry such burdens, it's unreal, in the formal, even Pentecostal circles. It can be as religious as anything.
No.
And So, you know, you've traveled now a lot. You've been in Australia recently.
Yeah.
And just tell me who you met down there.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, not everybody, but
a few thousand people. Yeah. Who did I meet?
Well, what was the was it a weekend gathering, or was it individuals, or was it a church setting, or what was it?
Yes, all of those.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it was a variety of different things. Primarily went because a group was spilling out of a very cultic, what passed itself off as a Christian church, but incredibly cultic, down to if you ask a question that doesn't sound like you're submitted to the eldership, they'll actually seek to separate you from your family, your kids, your wife, your husband, so that you won't infect them. And very oppressive. Yeah. And they'd spilled out of it about a year ago and wanted to have some conversations with me as they're kind of sorting out theology. That's why I went. But I met a 10-year-old girl in a home I stayed in that cried when I left the home. A 21-year-old who'd been so hurt by all that she was not interested at all in anything about God. And I showed up there, and she looked at me saying, I didn't want you to come here. I never realized after a few days you'd become my friend. I met people, an EMT worker, emergency training guy that was in stress disorder from a significant nationwide catastrophe he'd been a part of, and helped him find God in the middle of that. So, I mean, just the stories going on. I didn't speak at a big, large Sunday morning event, which not my favorite venue, but they asked me to do it, so I did.
Yeah, but coming back to the people who've been under this, as you call it, cultic group, you know, they've obviously very, very harsh people. You know, the people who've been effectively, I suppose, spiritually abused in a way.
They have.
Yet, you know, you're going in there like a triage guy, you know, in a car crash, aren't you?
Well, this was a little late.
Are these people moved on a bit further, or what's happening?
Yeah, they mostly spilled out a year ago, and fortunately they had enough passion for Jesus that they didn't throw out the baby with the bathwater. They were able to kind of continue on a journey with Jesus. But now they're still asking, what did we learn back there that was true? What did we learn back there that wasn't? How do we know the difference? Because I don't come in as the answer guy. Okay, you'll know the difference because what Wayne believes, you should believe. I just come in and say, gosh, how do you process that? What's wrong with that teaching? And how do you know from Scripture? How do you know from what God's already been speaking in your heart? So it's really to help people learn to live with a better compass than some leader telling me what's true, not true. So,
Yeah, I know recently in the God Journey, you've been talking about the yuck factor, yeah. You know, which is a sort of, I think it's hits the nail on the head.
Because everybody's using it now with me. They'll tell me I got a yuck factor, Wayne, when you said such and such. I'm going, gee, don't use my stuff on me. Use it on other people.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, there's things you hear in a Christian circle. Outwardly, they look right, they sound right, they should be right. But you, in your spirit, you just feel bad about it. You don't feel comfortable about it. It doesn't feel good, you know, and I think it's a tremendous thing that God entrusts or gives us the Holy Spirit that we can discern and judge such things. God gave us the Word and the Spirit, of course, you know, so we can walk in that freedom.
He did, and it really helps, obviously, to, if we can learn the difference between the Holy Spirit and Wayne with pizza. Because I think learning out, a lot of people claim the Holy Spirit told them to do such and such, and it turns out pretty destructive. So, and even all those elders would claim the Holy Spirit is showing them these things to control this congregation with. So it really is important that we come to a soft place in our heart where we really understand that God's words to us, the Holy Spirit's work in us, if it's really Him, will eventually produce those lovely fruits of the Spirit growing in our life, love, joy, peace, patience. When those things are growing in us, then we know we're listening to the Spirit. If they're not growing in us, then we may just be using the Holy Spirit to justify whatever it is that we want to do. And God knows I've done that plenty, and most of my friends have. So learning how to live inside a better space is what growing in Him is all about, I think.
Listen, that's wonderful. Listen, our time is up, but it's been a blessing talking to you, Wayne. I trust we can do this again. Maybe we'll have Dave with us next time.
Oh, that'd be great.
And I appreciate your time, taking time out to talk to us. And God bless you and your ministry. I know that God is going to expand it. Whatever's been doing now is simply a forerunner of what's coming up. You know, and that I've got a conviction that in Ireland, for example, God's prepared His people for an outpouring, which is coming. And so in a similar way, you know, your ministry is worldwide, but I know that God is going to use you in a much greater way. And really, I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate yours. God bless you as well.
Yeah, God bless you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.